Good afternoon and welcome back to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, where all the archives are. Oh, here we go. And the archives will be ready in 30 to 60 minutes. How great is that? So if you're listening live on Sunday afternoon, that archive's going to be up pretty quick.
So and if now, you're not, then...
Listen to it because the archive's already there, and this was a, you know, useless announcement. Hey, so...
So you're like putting the archives up 1 hour at a time now?
Well, Robert's been splitting them for us.
Okay.
Yeah, so we usually have
the first hour will be up before the second hour's done.
Should be. Oh. Look at that. We're, you know, this is a lot of pressure because then we'll have to do it again sometime. Maybe we should have just let people be surprised. Alrighty, so we're sticking with the whistleblower theme, but we're switching people. We are going to be joined. Is he already on there?
He is.
Well, we already have Ryan Cease on the line. And he was involved in the whistleblowing with Kristen at the beginning. There is an article, a really good article, actually, at the bottom of the radio page called Double Payments Bedevil Veterans Pension System from September of 2012. And it's got a good picture there of Ryan, Kristen, and Ken Crandall, who we haven't visited with yet. But Ryan's still working at the VA. So this is kind of an interesting whistleblower look because most of the people we talk to, you know, have been fired or forced out or whatever happened. But these two are still there and have managed to be successful in their jobs and deal with the, let's just call it abuse. What the heck? Is that close, Ryan?
Somewhat, yeah. How you doing?
And hey, how long have you been at the VA, by the way?
I think about 5 years now, approximately.
All right. So, what were you doing when you met Kristen? Were you guys both in the same place, or give us a little thumbnail sketch?
Well, I started out at the PMC triage, so I started from the bottom, just sorting mail and putting stuff in the file room. So as a clerk, and years progressed, I moved along to become a VSR.
So he was at the Pension Management Center, and now you're a veteran service representative.
Yes, a veteran service representative at the VSC, which is compensation.
Okay, so now you do the benefits. Now you do benefits claims.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We have to acronym translate sometimes, and then people will just have to go do their homework, I guess. So where did you find the problems from the beginning? Kristen was saying the first day she went in, she realized that there was probably something kind of haywire. When did you figure it out?
I was appointed to work duplicate records when I was in PMC triage. And so what I did was I consolidated, I located and consolidated double records for veterans, which usually occurs when a veteran had a claim number before, or if there is a wrong Social Security number in the system. When I started identifying a couple of these duplicate records, I stumbled across Kristen, and she was discovering double payments.
Mm.
So I knew a lot of the technical stuff, and she knew about the legal stuff. So I basically wanted to work with her and to isolate these problems and figure out a solution. When we did find out a solution and we wanted to report it, they told us that we didn't know anything. And so we went through the proper chain of command. We had meetings, yet nothing happened. And then Kristen discovered other things, and I tagged along with her because I always say to people, I trust people who I bleed with.
Mm. Sure.
Especially with the VA.
She was willing to, you know, stick her neck out on the block, and so she wasn't somebody just, you know, hey, Ryan, you should go tell him this.
No. I mean, we went through the proper chain of command. And the thing is, if we told you what the problem was and you keep doing it, we had to say something. We had to move up, you know, to escalate the level of it.
Yeah, what kind of money were you looking at going down the drain?
A couple thousands. I mean, like, right now, if we really wanted to be realistic, we're probably losing millions upon billions of dollars. And with these duplicate records and duplicate payments, we don't look for them. We wait for them to, you know, we wait until we stumble across them. And that's the problem. Now, if you had a team dedicated to look for these things, you'd be able to save a lot of money and a lot of headaches when it comes down to veterans missing records. They all come hand in hand because there'll be missing service treatment records, missing rating decisions, and you didn't realize that it was in another folder that the veteran claimed a long time ago. Yeah, so that's how it is.
That's crazy. And see, out here, what we've seen in Oakland is that nobody's getting paid. They're withholding payments. And on your side of the line, a huge problem is duplicate payments. I'll tell you what, it's literally like feast or famine.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is this. It's not more so on the compensation side. It's more on the pension side. A lot more problems with it because when it comes to pension, we hardly ever request for the service treatment records. So most of the time, verification of records don't occur. With compensation, we have to obtain the records. So when we come across a service number, it raises a flag saying, hey, there's two records here. But for pension, that's a different story.
I tell people how the pension thing works. We've talked a lot about benefits. People understand health care because they all, you know, everybody has to deal with that. What is pension management? What does that mean?
Well, there's two things. There's the PMC and the VSC. So PMC is the Pension Management Center. What they do is it's basically, I can't say this, the welfare of the VA, but if it's low-income family needing money, low-income veterans needing money, and to me, it's a lot. It's very important because majority of veterans who are coming for pension are requesting for aid in attendance and so on. So the money needs to be ready for them instantly, in my opinion.
Okay.
Compensation basically is based on how much, if they were service-connected, and they go by percentage, and that's how it is. But to me, I always believe that pension is very important, and it needs to be squared away faster than anything.
Sure, because these are people who are receiving pension because of income. This isn't because they're injured. This is because they served, and they are low income.
Yes.
Okay. And so, why are there two kinds of pension management? You mentioned two things.
Well, there's the VSC's compensation and pension. So there's only two entities there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we get a little education while we do this, too. So we don't want to let it just blow by and go, Yeah.
And trust me, I'll probably never go to work there or try to take anybody's job at the VA.
No, because we're both going to get fired.
Yeah, that's really not my cup of tea.
Yeah, Bill and I would get fired right away.
Yeah.
Nah, it's just like the military. You know, you step in not knowing anything. But somebody's going to train you and properly train you. And as you go along, you start learning the ropes. So it's not like, it's too complicated. If you get there for a couple of years, you start getting the mix of things, you know.
Yeah, we figured we'd probably just get fired because we'd get frustrated. You know, first time somebody followed me around, that'd be the end of that.
Yeah.
It'd be a short
trip. Yeah, try to chop to the head.
Yeah, it'd be a short trip. Unbelievable. Well, okay, so then once you pointed out that these things were not going properly, what started happening to you?
Well, this is the thing about it. It started out with the double payments, and then it came to mail shredding, and then it came to hiding claims, and then the list kept on building up, and other employees would come up to Kristen and I and tell us all these things is wrong, yet nothing's happening. So I used to sit in front of military mail a long time ago, and when I knew that you can shred certain documents if it is properly reviewed, you know, after 2 years and all that stuff, but majority of stuff that was sitting there was not reviewed, and it was prepped for shredding. And
what type of mail was this? Was this request for claims or was this just
evidence?
Well, this is the thing. These are documents coming into the triage department, and we're supposed to sort it and place it with the right veteran's record. Now, there's these things called military mail where they're unidentifiable, meaning there's no claim number, sometimes there's no name, and it just gets sorted and placed in this bin. Now, a lot of the employees there are on their points. So some employees don't really have, you know, the integrity to do their job, and they'll just put it in those bins and hope that somebody will find them later down the line and fix it. And
The bins they're putting these things in do get reviewed again?
Yes, they're supposed to.
What's the procedure for going into a shredder bin?
Well, this is the thing. It goes in those bins, then it gets reviewed to check if there is an address we can send it back to, a phone number, or some sort of identifiable name that we can contact or forward a letter to or the document to. And then we'll consider it military mail if it's not really identifiable. The only way you can do that is you really thoroughly look at the documents.
Sure.
Now, my issue is majority of the documents that are in there were original receipts from either Puerto Rico or, somewhere in the whole entire East Coast. And you can't get copies of these once you give it to us.
They are the copies.
I mean, yeah, they are the original.
That's
it. Are any of these documents transferred to digital format and saved on a server someplace before they're, filed or shredded? Or why not?
This was prior to the electronics documents. This is prior to VBMS. We had this something called Virtual VA. It was almost like VBMS, but these documents come into triage and it stops at triage and goes to these bins. It doesn't move forward from there because they're unidentifiable, quote unquote. But if you really look at them, if you really thoroughly check them, a lot of them were identifiable. But somehow or another, a couple supervisors were basically forced to sort through them as fast as they can and place it in these boxes that says to be shredded. Now, Kristen and I reported it. Obviously, OIG gave the RO a heads-up warning. And these boxes magically disappeared.
Now, again, these documents could have been a request for a claim or first contact. How do I file for a claim?
Yes.
That sort of thing.
It can be anything.
It could also be somebody's medical records or, all these things that can never be found again. So they contact the inspector general. The inspector general calls the regional office, the RO, and tells them, hey, one of your guys is telling on you. And then, poof, they're gone.
Yep.
Well, they didn't make it.
How many? And what kind of boxes are we talking about? Like, what kind of volume?
I don't know, but these are one of those typical white boxes that we, office box.
Like a banker box?
Yeah, and it'll be filled to the brim of documents. Now, each document is, 9 out of 10 is one person, it's ridiculous.
Sure.
Wow.
So you pointed that out. The inspector general comes in, takes a look at it, and says, gosh, we can't prove it, or what did they find?
Well, what they said was, well, we can't prove the fact that these are shredded or there's any shredding went on. There's no proof. And how exactly are you going to prove that? If you gave the RO a heads up already, hey, guys, we're coming here. Obviously, hide the evidence. Do damage control. It's not cool, You're supposed to go, surprise, here it is.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, run it to the shredder before we get there. We'll be there Thursday. Oh, my
exactly.
Gosh. Okay, so while our heads are exploding, I just looked at the time. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Need to take a quick break. Thank our advertisers. You are listening to We the People Radio. We'll be right back with you. In the meantime, join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Baby, baby,
thought maybe they were going to rhyme it with mail there for a second. That somehow we were going to have a mail song. Okay, I was wrong. What was it anyway?
It was Jump and Jive.
It was Jump, Jive, and Whale.
Oh, I need to get out more.
Brian Setzer in the orchestra.
So you're listening to We the People Radio. We are here with Ryan Cease, a whistleblower at the Philadelphia VA. So, Ryan, what other stuff should people know about your experience, we'll call it?
Well, that's the thing about it. Like, a lot of employees at our building are amazing workers, okay? And the thing is, a lot of people are probably focused on, A, the VA is doing a horrible job with our cases. A lot of us actually do amazing jobs, you know, like, the problem is, when it comes down to the resources, how it's used, it's not that great, you know. Like, management is a big issue when it comes down to communication with employees. You know, when a lot of these employees are in the front lines or lower grade pay grades, we basically get dismissed and saying that we don't know anything about our jobs. That's what Chris and I have been going through for years, that whenever we raise an issue, we found something, there's something wrong with the system, we would bring it up, and we'll be told that we don't know what we're talking about. And that's a problem. That's a major problem. And for years, both Kristen and I has always provided ways of trying to get this resolved at the RO level first, with the regional office level, before it even goes to CEO. But we, you know, they just brush us off.
And do you both live in the same congressional district?
Yep.
So you were able to go to the same office for help?
Majority of time, I would go to Kristen, and she would do a lot of the legwork when it comes down to contacting Congress and so on. You know, I do the technical aspect part. Like, I go through the whole entire system. And I know the system like the back of my hand. I'm the nerd when it comes down to these things. And so I trust Kristen with the legal stuff, and she would you know, collect all her points of contacts to get where we're at today.
That's a great way to do it. So you guys just kind of, you guys worked on your strengths and kind of split up the work.
Yep, that's how it works. Kristen.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's funny because whenever Kristen goes into a hearing, a lot of people are asking me, Ryan, why don't you go to a hearing? Oh, no, I think Kristen's a really good talker. She's awesome. So let her do all the job.
Yeah, hey, let Kristen do all the talking. What the heck?
So it seems to me that it would just be much easier if they would just let the employees, because I believe most of the employees there really want to do a good job and want to do the right thing. But it seems like that would be so much easier to let them do the job and let them do the right thing than it would be to continually throw these roadblocks up and prevent payments from going where they should be going. So what do you think their motivation is for doing it the way they're doing it?
Well, a lot of things came down to making the regional office look good in front of Congress. You know, as years I've been sitting there, they're always worried about points, or how many we've produced, and so on. They're so focused on the numbers that they forget that these veterans, these claims that are coming in are human beings.
Right.
You know? And that's where it comes down to it. They told us that, you know, these duplicate records is not enough to say that we need to focus on them compared to the backlog that we have now. What I'll look at is that these are people. You guys have enough employees here to start a project to fix this and work on the backlog too, you know. And the thing is, they don't really know how to manage their people and use their strengths to and give them the resources to fix these problems.
So they're more concerned with cleaning up the backlog, right, wrong, or indifferent, than they are processing the claims properly and getting the veterans the payments they're due. They're concerned with the numbers. They just want to run as many claims through as they can, and to do that, they they implement these silly rules and shredding bins and all this other stuff. Is that right?
Yes. Don't get me wrong. It's always good to help more in anything, you know. But to help more, but do it properly.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
You know, the correct way, instead of doing shortcuts here and there. Like, for instance, whenever I do a case, I love calling the veterans, you know. Instead of sending a letter to the veteran, wait 30 days, and then come back and somehow or another don't get a response, and then we flip it to get ready, I don't like that. You know, I like to go one-on-one when it comes down to cases because, to me, I'm a veteran. So I always pretend that every case in front of me is my case.
Right.
How am I going to get myself paid? And I will do everything possible to get myself paid and get every single evidence I can possibly get legally to help myself. I always look at it that way.
Well, I would think that a personal phone call to a veteran does a couple of things. It tells the veteran that somebody is concerned about their case, is willing to pick up a phone and talk to them directly, and if you have questions on some detail of that case, you can talk to them directly and get it straightened out in order to, you know, move the case forward correctly. And they don't want you to make those phone calls?
The thing about the phone calls is, when it comes down to points, there are not a lot of points. And, you know, sometimes veterans would like a lot of, will throw a lot of questions at you, and you want to answer them properly. So that takes a little bit of time. Phone calls produces the least, the smallest points possible. And a lot of people avoid that because they know that once we contact a veteran, we have to write down what we did, upload it into the system, and then move forward.
Well, I would imagine on a phone call, you can't use, can you use that information they tell you, or do you have to have everything in writing in order to process a claim? Do you have to have some written document?
You don't have to. There's a lot of things that we can develop over the phone. Of course, there are certain things. If it's like you want to make something formal, you have to have it in writing.
Sure.
But when it comes down to at least inquiry, it helps, you know, with the communication between the person processing the case and the veteran. And there's a peace of mind when it comes down to if an employee calls a veteran. It makes him a little bit happier, you know.
Oh, sure. I totally
except that,
that.
He was telling me the other day when we were on the phone, Ryan said every now and then he calls and he says, you know, I'm calling from the VA, and the people are like, you know.
Yeah.
Right. On the defensive.
They're either mad at me or they're surprised that I gave him a call.
Right, right.
You're like, wait, I'm a good guy.
But when you're making when you're making this phone call, I mean, let's face it, the claim at that point is somewhat in a draft stage. You're just trying to gather the information so that everything can be put in writing and then reviewed and pushed forward correctly. Is that right?
Well, majority of the time, sometimes, let's say a veteran misses an examination. Instead of just saying, I'm going to flip this and I'm going to send it on merry way because the veteran missed his examination, I like to call and say, hey, what's going on? Why did you miss it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it says it on the letters to say, if you miss your CMP examination, you're done. We're going to make a decision based on what we have here, you know. And there's no notes in the system. We don't know why the veteran didn't make it. I like to call the veteran and say, hey, what's going on? Let's give you another chance.
Well, right, I know what goes on out here is a lot of times they send the letters out after the compensation and pension exam was scheduled. That happens a lot. Or they're called and told that it's been canceled, and then when they don't show up, you missed your appointment, that's it.
Well, and then
tough
and
luck
then,
for you.
You know, when you're sending letters out to an organization that has a history of losing mail and filing mail in the wrong spot, I mean, there's not a lot of confidence that I write a letter, it's going to get to the person working on my case in a timely fashion, or is it going to end up in one of these bins and looked at a year down the road?
Well, Ryan, let's let Bill in on the latest. Well, we probably better take a break before we go down that road. We're going to talk to you about how they're handling the mail now. I think you're going to be really excited. Bill's going to go berserk. Are you ready? I didn't actually tell him before the show. I figured we'd just tell him on the air.
I'm going for my blood pressure medication right now.
We're going to be removing all the sharp objects. We'll be right back with you. You should get rid of all your sharp objects, too, to our listeners out there. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune and no one ever knows I'm afraid.
Don't think that we don't know. Don't think that we're not trying. Don't think we move too slow. It's no use after crying, saying it's a mistake. It's a mistake. It's a mistake.
I want to whistle a happy tune.
I want to go back to the song where you were afraid.
Yeah. Nobody will know I'm afraid.
That's a mistake. Yeah, well, I think that what we're going to talk about now is, I think this will be a good song for that. This is a good lead-in. Oh, and Ryan's in a band, too, see, so this is good. We should have good music on for Ryan. Hey, so tell Bill about the how they're handling the mail now.
Okay, so now... most of the mail that's coming in, it goes to a scan station. So before, we have these pieces of paper coming into our building, and it'd be easy for us to just get the paper, put it in the folder, and we're good to go. Now, they're all going to the scan station.
This is every VA in the entire country. All
exactly.
58 Benefits Administration buildings. Goes to one place, right?
Yeah. I think there's... two places.
Oh, right, that's now. Great. I feel better already.
It depends on depends on where you live.
But they probably have hundreds or thousands of scanners going all the time, so this stuff gets processed right away, right?
So it can all be shot into little electrons and lost in the
ether.
Yep.
The ether.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So is that going to speed things up, or is that going to protect the documents?
Well, a lot of people would say yes, it's going to speed things up, but right now the scan station are in its infancy, like its starting stage right now, and they're still trying to figure out the glitches, what's going on, how to make it faster, and so on. There'll be points where the scan stations cannot keep up with the demand.
Oh, I can't believe that.
So what does that mean? That'll delay some claims, right? So we already have issues of mail leaving the building, taking a long time, and mail now coming in and taking a long time to be processed. So with these scan stations, they would scan the paper or claim, and then it goes into this little portal in each regional office that they can go look into, and they can grab and place into a veteran's record. Now, the thing about that is that you can easily lose documents that way.
Because they're put in the wrong folder or file or...
Yes.
Deleted.
Or deleted, yes. And the thing about it is some people will say, no, you cannot delete a document unless you complete a deletion form and somebody has to approve the deletion. Of course, okay, fine. If it's not deleted, it can get lost in this little thing. It's unassociated document area, where electronic documents go into that's not associated to a veteran's folder. Now, this comes back to the whole military mail, I cannot identify this document stage, right? But in an electronic form. So what does that mean? People don't really check these unassociated document bins.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, there's no...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
somebody has to physically go in and open each one of these files to see what it is.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
So now they're going to probably throw in some things and say, oh, dear, we'd hardly ever lose mail, blah, blah, blah. But have you ever asked a veteran and say, hey, did you send this to us? And then the veteran says, yes, but it's not in the system. And it's been 3 months now. Where did it go?
Mm-mm. Yeah, no kidding.
So is the trick then when you send a document to the VA, is the trick to put as much identifying information in there as you can, like claim numbers, dates, names, Social Security, on every single correspondence? I mean, is that going to matter?
If you want to go crazy about it, yeah, you can. If you want to put like your Social Security number in the corner of each document, that would be, it's a great way to protect your documents coming into our scan station.
Well, they could never say they don't know where to put it or who it belongs to.
Exactly. There's no excuse, you know. But like I said, there are improvements. Things are getting better. But right now, it's still scary.
Well, they operate, I asked you this the other day and then promptly forgot the answer you gave me. How many different computer systems?
We have tons. We have a lot. So we got, right now, our main focus is BBMS. And that's our main claims processing application that we use. Prior to that, we were using BDN. Then we switched to VetsNet, Share, and then now BBMS. And a lot of people know that appeals, we have vehicles. The hospital has Capri. There's so many systems that we have to jump onto to work our cases.
You have what? I mean, it's like a dozen isn't too many, right?
It's a lot. It's a lot of cases.
How crazy is that? And now you're going to have all the mail being electronic. So
yes. So
now you throw all that in there. So that's great. You know, there won't be a lot of shredding of records. But gosh, you know, at least you could see it piling up in a bin.
Yeah.
Now it's all loitering in a folder online that you have to actually click on to look at it. Do you see any safeguards being built in on this?
Right now, I don't see any safeguard because the only way there's a safeguard is if a veteran service representative, a person like me who's processing the claim, stumbles across a piece of paper inside another veteran's folder and says, hey, this doesn't belong here. I can associate it with the correct veteran. You know, that's easy. It's great. If it's associated with another veteran's record. Now, if it's not and it's in this unassociated mail bin or at a different portal in a different state somewhere, and that's an issue, you know, you're not going to be able to know if this document actually came in or not until the veteran tells us, hey, I sent this to you. Why didn't you get it yet? You know? And we can't call the scan station and say, hey, did you guys get this? Nah, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because they don't know. There's no, I mean, it's just piles of paper being scanned. When they scan it in, do they scan it in by what center it's supposed to go to, or?
Well, it depends on where the veteran lives. So it goes into these portals. So let's say they send it to Philadelphia, and it goes into the Philadelphia portal. And now the people who's processing these documents to put into the correct record will jump into this portal, grab that mail, and put it in the right record. Now, if a veteran lives in, let's say, Florida, let's say California.
Okay.
And we don't know about it, and the veteran sends in the piece of paper. It goes to a different portal. It'll go to a California regional office's portal. We, in Philadelphia, cannot look into that portal. So it can be sitting there for a good amount of time until somebody in California catches it.
You know? Oh, no.
So there's a lot of weird loops that's going on with the electronic mail stuff. So, and when we send something to the scan station, it's like, where is it? We don't know. We don't really have a good point of contact when it comes down to that.
And
I'm just looking at my perspective, though.
Sure. And do you guys have the same problem when, you know, when a claim gets brokered out that you can't see it, but it's still part of your center? Do you guys broker things out there?
Well, when we broker things out and it's already in BBMS, you can look into that veterans folder.
Okay.
We can look into it. Let's say I want to look into a folder and someone from California. I can look at that person's record if it's scanned in there, you know. So that's not a major issue. But when it comes down to incoming mail or incoming records getting associated with the wrong veteran, then that's a bigger issue.
Unbelievable. You can just see how this could so easily train wreck. I spoke with a lady. She had worked. It was after we did one of the shows with the Oakland whistleblowers, and a lady called me. She'd been at the Oakland Center for, I don't know, 33 years, I think she said. And she, I don't know exactly her job title, but it sounds like it was, triage, mail, that kind of thing. And she'd been doing that for all those years. And I asked her, I said, do you think that the electronic is going to help? And she said, it was faster when we processed it on paper.
Yes.
she said it was actually faster.
And that's not hard to believe. Gosh, I mean,
it was sitting
when
right there.
When the computers came along, we weren't going to have paper anymore. And I think we use more paper now than we ever used.
You have to print it out now so you can keep track of it, because once it's in the computer, you can't find it again.
Oh, gosh, yes.
All right, we're coming right back. Take a really quick break. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back with Ryan Cease. We're talking about the VA, and we should get a little more of his whistleblower story since that really was our topic.
Teach me, cheat. Show me how you do it. I want to learn from the very best, the one who cheats on me. Teach me love. Never better man, make me a honky-tonk angel. Teach me, cheat.
And I've seen a lot of good folk die, had a lot of bills to pay. I'd give the shirt right off of my back if I had the guts to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. My woman done left took all the reason.
Who knew that there were so many applications for country music in the industry of the Veterans Administration? I particularly like the outgoing song, Teach Me to Cheat. I think we'll be using that one again. Hey, Ryan, you could play those, at your work. I'm sure they'd be really popular.
Blessing some country. It's awesome. Philadelphia.
Yeah, I figure since you're in a rock band, you live in Philadelphia, we should inundate you with country music, just for the heck of it.
I'm sort of listening to country. It's pretty cool.
It is. And some of these older ones, Bob's got all these songs. I don't know where he gets them all. Looks them up on this program, and it's stuff that, I don't know, you just never thought about the application before. So where do you see things going for you? Kristen mentioned to us at near the end of the hour that she doesn't feel like it's probably a very smart career move to switch positions within the VA. Because then it just gives them a reason to line her up to fail or points or whatever. Do you kind of see the same thing for you?
I mean, that's the thing about it. It was the risk that we were willing to take, to do the right thing. And a lot of people believe that, hey, when you whistleblow in the VA, you'll get paid if you do something right, if you find something. I'm like, no. It's not about the money. We don't get paid. We did it based on because we knew there was something wrong. We needed to fix it. And now, both Kristen and I, our career is basically screwed. Sorry. But,
No, we could say screwed. But, we could say crap, too, just for reference.
Yeah. So,
but if you're a VA employee, I mean, now that's a federal job, correct?
Yes.
All right, so can't you transfer laterally into another federal agency, or are they just like radar up?
How do you think that'll work?
Yeah,
it's going to be really tough because you know how it is with these government facilities. They'll do background checks on you. I'm like, hey, I can see you in Google. What did you do over there?
They'll be like, oh my God, we're going to get Ryan. He's going to come clean up our outfit. That's going to be great.
We need somebody like Ryan.
Exactly. That's what we want to do.
We're stuck.
Yeah, that so probably ain't going to work.
Yeah, you're trapped.
Unless there's like some sort of, hey, let's have a deal here. If where do you want to go? I want to go here. And, okay, fine. We'll have an agreement that you're going to be transferred. But if we were on our own to, let's say, a request for a job, 9 out of 10, they're going to do a background check and see us all over Google saying that we're whistleblowers.
Yeah, I'd say before you take that transfer, you make sure you put a line in there where they can't get rid of you for at least 10 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, so yeah. It is as...
It could be cold in Anchorage without a job.
It's true. There was a guy that worked for Kubota Tractor or one of the dealerships, and he used to call it that doing certain things. Those were CLMs. I think being a whistleblower is a CLM, a career limiting move.
Career limiting move.
That's what we did.
You made the ultimate CLM, huh?
Yeah. If anything, we risked our jobs. And we basically messed up our careers from here on end. But you know what? Throughout all this, we hope that there's a major change that occurs from this, regardless. So right now, we took a hit, you know, for veterans, taxpayers, and employees. So that's why we're pushing really, really hard for these changes to be implemented.
And it counts. And I know there's a lot of veterans out there that are counting on folks like you to do the right thing. And it's really hard to ask somebody to do the right thing and end up messing up their career over it. But somebody's
going
to
do it.
But
how do you not do it?
At the end of the day, how do you not do it?
You got to go there every day and be asked to do things that you know are either against the law or going to hurt veterans. Or follow. I really like the people that are tagged to go here. I want you to go follow your coworker around and rat on them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be great. That's another terrific opportunity you've missed.
Yeah, you put that on your resume.
I was a favorite. It does that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a follower. Lovely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, well, one day, you know that these things never last forever, and evil never really wins. So the tide will ultimately turn, and I would hope at some point in time, a few heads roll, and then, you know, we only have what year and better and. If all the voters do a good job, maybe we get a different kind of administration in there. And then we see changes happen pretty quickly because it all rolls down from the presidency. So different secretary, different mindset, more pro-veteran. It'll still be government, so it'll probably happen kind of slow. But how quick, Ryan, like if they fired the director of your facility, say, and a couple of the other managers, if they actually fired those people and made a big example out of them, what's your guess? I mean, obviously we're all totally just speculating, but how quick would change come?
It'll change a lot of things, actually. Because now if you terminate them, people that's coming in have a different mindset, you know, and they'll see, oh, man, you guys got rid of these because you got whistleblowers under you. They're going to watch their step. I might be wrong, you know.
No, I don't think you are. I think anytime there's accountability, people have to respect that. And if they want to do a job and they want to stay on that career path, if they're made to be accountable, they'll do the right thing.
Right.
I think that would make a difference.
I think it would too. It's kind of exciting to think that it would happen. And you know what? Everybody who's doing what you and Kristen are doing and Rusty and the other folks in other facilities, the more you guys pile on with this and the more we make sure we keep it in the public eye, you know, not just healthcare, but benefits and the duplicate payments and all these different things. If we keep that on the front burner, it's much more likely that something will happen, something good.
Yes. And that's what we're always hoping for.
Absolutely. So in our last, 30 seconds or so, got a parting shot you'd like to fire?
All I got to say is thank you very much for having me. It's awesome. All I'm saying is to all the American people out there, just don't feel as if every employee and the VA is bad people. There's a lot of good workers, and we're doing our best to help. But thing is, there are people there that we need to put out in the open.
Exactly, which is going to be part of the good job that you do. So thank you very much for your service, for openers, and thanks for coming on with us. I'm sure we'll do
definitely.
It again.
Thanks for being on, Ryan.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. Have a great rest of your weekend, which is pretty slim now. I've got a few hours left. All right, everybody, we'll be back next week. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.